8 years old. Everybody say 8 years old. Now, that's pretty young to be a king. 8 years old. I'm not sure I'd want an 8-year-old king. I'm sure he had some advisors. Might have been free bubble gum for everybody. I'm sure it had its benefits. But it would be scary. But I'm sure he had many advisors when he was 8 years old. But Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidiah, and the daughter of Adadiah of Boshcath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, Thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And then in the 23rd chapter, verse 1 through 3, And the king sent, and they gathered him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king sent up unto the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both great and small. And he read, let me see here. I lifted my eyes a minute. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and with all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. Amen. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. Josiah was nothing like his father Amon, or his grandfather Manasseh. The history of this young man and the lineage of this young man, I don't know how far back he could remember. Not very far, because only 8 years old. When I don't know what stories he heard, being a royal, perhaps he heard of the lineage. We remember King Hezekiah, a good king of Israel. Hezekiah reigned 29 years. He had a great and awesome revival in his years. He saw, during the reign of Hezekiah, the northern kingdom of Israel went into captivity of Assyria, never returned. And the same Assyrians came against Judah, and God miraculously delivered them. And the Bible says that the angel of the Lord slew 185,000 Assyrian soldiers to deliver the nation of Israel. So Hezekiah had a great revival. And you would think that he would be able to pass that on to his son, but he did not. Manasseh became king, which was Josiah's grandfather. He was the longest reigning king. He reigned for 55 years. That's a long time. 55 years he was a king. And he started out when he was 12 years old. 12 years old. And so now they've got another boy king, and they're probably thinking about the one that came before, thinking, I don't know, that didn't work out too good. Because Manasseh, the Bible said, became a very wicked king. He did horrible things. He led Israel into idolatry and actually went into the very temple of God and set up altars to idols and to false gods. He caused one of his very own sons to be sacrificed in fire to the god of Molech. He did horrendous things. He allowed the walls of the temple, along the sides of the walls, houses to be built of prostitution and homosexuality. And it was rampant, the debauchery and the sin that was in the city of Jerusalem and throughout the kingdom of Judah during the time of Manasseh. 55 years. A horrific reign. But at the end of his life, he repented. And he turned around and he decided that he was going the wrong way and Israel was going the wrong way. So he tried to change things. Not all the way. There were some things he left undone. I think perhaps it was those years that Josiah was born. I don't know how much a six-year-old, an eight-year-old boy could remember, but at 6 years old when his grandfather passed on. His father then became king, Ammon, and he reigned only for about 2 years, and then his servants killed him. So that left Josiah at the age of 8 years old to ascend to the throne. Now, he does not have, at this point, a very good heritage, does he? It's not looking too good for Josiah. His grandfather led Israel into the greatest decline in its history, and his father followed the footsteps of Manasseh, and even worse, until his own servants killed him. So it's not looking real good. What good could come to a man in this kind of a condition? How can somebody with such a horrific past and examples in his life, how can he become godly? Well, the same way we do. He turned to the Lord. You know, it's important. I'm going to say, to have a godly heritage is a treasure. It's a wonderful thing. If you have had godly parents or grandparents, godly examples in your life, that is an awesome treasure that you need to really treasure that all of your life. It's a marvelous thing to grow up in a Christian home. I thank God for my heritage. I grew up in a wonderful Christian home with Christian parents that took me to church. Didn't send me, but they took me to church. Amen. And every service, we were there. And taught me the ways of the Lord since I was a child. And I couldn't get away with anything. Amen. They were tough parents when it came to righteousness. But that was a good thing. I thank God for that now in my life. But I want to say, after saying that if you don't have that heritage, you can still serve God just as fervently and just as faithfully and just as well as somebody that doesn't have that heritage. Let me tell you something. God does not have any grandchildren. That's right. All of God's children are children. He doesn't have any children by third generation. All of his kids are fresh born. Every last one of us. All of us are born again. Doesn't have any grandchildren. He thinks all of them are grand. God doesn't have any grandchildren. I hear people talk about first and second and third and fourth generation Pentecostals. And again, a godly heritage is a good thing. But honestly, every individual is a first generation Pentecostal. Now, you may have a godly heritage, but that doesn't mean you're going to turn out good. You got to make it on your own just like they made it on their own. You're going to have to pay the price. You're going to have to dedicate. You're going to have to consecrate. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to learn how to seek God for yourself. You can't coast to heaven on somebody else's coattails. It's great to have a godly heritage. It adds many benefits to your life, but it also gives you great responsibility. Seems like I read somewhere in the Bible that said, "Too much, to whom much is given, much is required." So if you have a godly heritage, you know things that it takes other people a while to develop. You ought to hit the ground running. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a good thing. But he did not have a godly heritage. He had a horrific heritage. As far as his grandfather and his father were concerned, there was little hope for Josiah. It didn't look like there was going to be a whole lot that he was going to be able to do. It's important to have a godly influence. The Bible said, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it." The Hebrew word here has, it's a word bent. Train up a child in the way he's bent. Amen. And so your baby has bents. Did you know that? All babies are bent. Children are bent a certain way. They have a gift of skills, and they have abilities, and they have interests, and they have aptitudes. And a wise parent will observe those things and not try to make them something they're not. You know, if your child is 12 years old and weighs 98 pounds, or 98 pounds and he's built like a stick, amen, it probably wouldn't be good to put him on the football field and try to make him a fullback. He'll be nothing but mush when it's all said and done. He's not bent that way. That's not his natural inclination. Amen. But he may be a rocket scientist. He may be a neurosurgeon. Or if you're really blessed, he might be a preacher of the gospel. Whatever he is, you know, you just study his bents and you help him to become what he can be. Amen. Now that said, we don't encourage, and nor do we believe in gender, what do they call it, confusion. And you're letting the child decide whether it's a boy or a girl. I don't think so. Check his plumbing, you'll know which one he is. And then you train him to be that. If he's a boy, you train him to be a boy and a man. If it's a girl, you train him to be a girl, not a man. And so that's part of our job, is to train them right. That was a child I read about. He was 6 years old, getting ready to go to school, and didn't know if he was Bob or Roberta. And the parents were saying, well, we don't know what to do. He doesn't know which one he is. Well, I can tell you which one he is. He's a boy. Amen. He needs to go to the boys' bathroom. Because he's a boy. And you need to get enough backbone to help him become a man. Some parents need backbones. I tell you what, it amazes me how weak some mothers and fathers are. My mom and dad didn't have that problem. Amen. Sometimes if I ever did ask why, they'd say, because I'm the parent. That's why. Period. Amen. Now, whether I liked it or not, and I didn't, I knew better than to question it. And you know what? It never did hurt me. I'm not going to say they were right 100% of the time. But it never did hurt me. You know what it taught me? That when I grew up, you know what I say? I tell you what I don't say. I don't say because I'm the daddy, that's why. Because I didn't like that answer. So I decided I wouldn't use that answer. Did you know it's okay to vary just a little bit if you can find a better way to do something than your parents did it? It doesn't dishonor your parents. It just makes you a better parent. Well, I'm not on parenting today, but I did get there, didn't I? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, and not depart from it. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Amen. And what does that mean, provoke not your children to wrath? Did you know there are children today, and this is last week, there was a horrific event in Colorado where a young man killed, 12 people, injured more than 50. That young man had a lot of wrath in his heart for some reason. I don't know where that wrath came from, but it was there. In the streets of Athens, Texas, there are young people that are filled with rage because of their home life, because parents provoked them to wrath. Now, discipline is a good thing. Children, when they understand boundaries, everybody needs boundaries. Everybody wants boundaries in their life. And the reason children rebel is because they're looking for boundaries. And if you make those boundaries clear, then they'll respect those boundaries. They won't like them, but they'll respect them. And they'll understand there's restrictions in life. But if they don't have boundaries, they keep looking for them. And if you set boundaries, but you have no explanation for why, and you just force them to do things, and then they observe things in your life that you forbid them, causes confusion, and that's where wrath comes from. That's where wrath comes from. And so it's important that we set a good example, and we be consistent. Find out what's right and wrong. And then stay with what's right and wrong. Don't change that. Amen. Establish boundaries and enforce boundaries. I don't know exactly. Perhaps he had some wise counselors, some men and women in his life that made up for what his parents could not give him. Somehow, Josiah, someplace, in some way, found a place with God. The Bible said that seek the Lord. And when you seek the Lord, the Bible says that you'll be found, or he'll be found of you. He'll come to you. He'll reveal himself to you. He'll work with you. And so Josiah begins a right path and a right direction. So then when he's crowned king at the early age of 8 years old, come on now, help me out. I'm hung up there, brother. So you can flip me to B, we'll be fine. So he's crowned king, and the Bible said while he was yet a boy, he began to seek, I like this, the God of David, his father. Even though Israel was in the dregs of sin, David was still their hero. They still look back to the days of David as the glory years. Why didn't they seek the God of David? That's what made David great. It wasn't David, it was his relationship with God that made him the man that he was. But people did not seek the God of David. I've also noticed that people do like to talk about sometimes an individual in the past, but they don't want to pay the price that individual paid and be the kind of person that person was. But that's preferable to what we have today in our society. What we have today in our society is people, every hero that was good in our past, they're doing everything they can to find dirt and tear them down. The history that's being taught in the classroom today is a different history than when I went to school. You know, that what we have today is how horrible those men were that founded this country. And all of their flaws and their faults. And how unkind and all kinds of things are taught about those men. Yes, they had flaws. They were human beings. But they established the greatest nation on the face of the earth. They had a right direction. You can't solve all of history all of the evils of society and just with a stroke of a pen. It'd be nice if you could, but you can't do it. It takes time, a lot of time. But we have today, we have people that bash every righteous hero and try to drag them down. That's a sad thing. We need heroes in our lives. We need role models. We need people we can look up to. Now, you can acknowledge people have flaws, but at the same time, just admire the good things that they did and the right things that they did. And so somehow Josiah latched on to David and discovered that the reason that David was who he was because of his relationship with God. And so as a very young man, he began to seek the Lord for himself. I don't know who his counselors were. I don't know who helped him in that pursuit. But he decided, I'm going to seek the Lord. And he began to seek God in his early years. Amen. The Bible said he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the way of David his father and turned not aside to the right hand or the left. This is unusual in kings of Israel to do everything and walk in all the way David walked. Some of them would go part of the way, but here's a young man that went all of the way. Amen. And he was really seeking the Lord and doing everything he knew how to do it right. And so he begins to pursue the Lord with all that's in him. How interesting, though David had been gone now 400 years, he was still the benchmark of what a king ought to be. 400 years later, this young man is trying to pursue the footsteps of David and do the right thing. And so he begins, 8 years old, he begins to walk in the ways of the Lord. You know, leadership is an unusual thing. Leadership will reveal things. It doesn't just cause you to do things, but it reveals things that are in you. Sometimes you don't really know some things in your heart until you're put in a position of leadership. I've known people that were very meek and mild until they got in a place of leadership, and then they became a lion. Some of them, now let me just say this about leadership. It's easy to put people in leadership, but it's to take them out. So you got to be careful and don't rush into things. Amen. Sometimes, I think so-and-so would be good at so-and-so. Well, you may not know everything there is to know about so-and-so. They might do real good in one role and real bad in another one. I've actually watched people be destroyed by leadership as far as their effectiveness in the kingdom of God. They were really good at serving God in one area, but you put them in another area and they were not good at all. They became very domineering and very hurtful. And I've watched that happen. It's happened in my own ministry to watch people do those kinds of things. And so leadership reveals things in a person's life. And what it revealed in Josiah's life was he, like Solomon, he understood that even at an early age that I can't do this well by myself. I've got to have some help. And he began to seek the Lord. Praise God. One of the great things about leadership is exactly that. When you realize you can't do it by yourself, in order to do it well, you're going to need the help of God. And instead of leaning to your own understanding and getting possessive and resentful and jealous and all of those things, you turn to God and you say, Lord, I've got to have your help with this. This is a big job. I can't do this alone. And that's what Josiah apparently felt. And so he began to seek the Lord. And the Bible said he began to change things. He knew some things that were right and wrong. He didn't know it all, but he started with what he knew. I said he started with what he knew. And that's a good thing for all of us. You may not know everything that's right and wrong, but start with what you know. If you know something's right, do it. If you know something's wrong, don't do it. That's not hard, is it? At least it sounds easy. We don't know, and I don't suppose that at this time, I'm going to tell you why in a minute, but it doesn't appear this young man was ever taught the Bible. The Word of God was not anything honored in that time. So unless he had a counselor somewhere that remembered some things, he was not taught the Bible. But he just had a desire in his heart to do what was right. To be like David. And maybe all he had was the Chronicles of David to read, but that was pretty good reading. Because it was full of Jehovah. The Lord did this, and the Lord did that, and the Lord did the other thing. So he may not have known the Lord, but he knew David knew the Lord. And so he began doing the right thing. Amen. Even when he was 8 years old. Can a child really have that much effect? I think so. You remember 2004, the huge tsunami that hit in Asia and destroyed some islands and brought so much destruction, loss of life. There was a 10-year-old girl named Tilly Smith. She was on vacation with her family. And she was at the beach along with many others. And she watched the water. And all of a sudden, she started being quickly receding out to sea. And she had done a report on tsunamis at school. And she remembered that that's exactly what it said happened when a tsunami came, that the water would quickly recede and go quickly out to sea. And of course, a huge wave was forming that later came crashing down. As soon as that happened, she started telling her mom and telling others that a tsunami. Now, 10-year-old girl, you're at the beach, and 10-year-old girl starts hollering, "Tsunami's coming, tsunami's coming." He's like, "Huh? What does a 10-year-old know?" But she spoke to the authorities, and they did respond. And so they called all of the guests and got them and put them in the upper rooms of the hotel they were staying in. And that was one of the few beaches that had no loss of life because of a 10-year-old girl. People owed their lives to a 10-year-old girl. So yes, God uses even children. And certainly he used Josiah as a great, great man of God. Josiah's work of restoration and revival came about in an awesome way. Amen. The first thing that he did is he had a love for the temple. Now, you know, one of the first things that's going to happen when you serve the Lord with a whole heart is you're going to fall in love with the house of God. Amen. You're going to fall in love with the house of God. One of the first, in my opinion, one of the first things that happens to people when they start on their way out is they start missing church. Shake your head like this right here. Yeah, they do. Mm-hmm. When I see people start missing church, I know something's wrong. People that have been faithful and they love to be in the house of God and they love to worship, and suddenly their worship is not fervent and they start missing. He loved the house of the Lord. So he sent a team, and he said, and this is sad, isn't it? To repair the house of the Lord. Isn't it sad that it can get in such a condition? I mean, it was in a bad condition. It was a horrific condition. It had deteriorated so bad. You can imagine what would happen over 55 years when there was no love for the house of God. So he said, let's repair it. So he sent in teams, and they began reconstructing and fixing and cleaning and taking things out and putting things in. Of course, the first thing he had to do was clean it up. Amen. That's the first step, isn't it? Get clean. Thank God for the blood. It still has cleansing power. Amen. It can still cleanse us, can it not? The Bible said our bodies are the temples of the Holy Ghost today. Yes, we have a church building, but this is not the church. You're the church. Amen. The Holy Ghost lives in us, and it wants a clean temple to live in. Yes, it does. Amen. And so he started out by cleaning up and repairing the temple. Here's the interesting thing. When they were cleaning up the temple, they found the Word of God in the house of God. And here's a strange thing, that the Word of God could be lost in the house of God. But did you know that's true? You can go to many so-called churches today and not hear the Word of God. You can hear sports and opinion and psychology and modern theology and all kinds of stuff, but you won't hear the Word of God. You may hear the Word of God explained away, but you won't hear the Word of God explained in a lot of places. But thank God for the Word. Amen. The high priest found the Word of the Lord in the temple, and it changed things. This book still changes things, doesn't it? Hilkiah the high priest found the book of the law. The light of God's word could then shine freely when he found those old scrolls. Amen. And reached down, and undoubtedly, can you imagine a high priest that didn't know where the Word of God was? But it's amazing what light in one man's heart can do, even if he's 8 years old. It begins to reach out to others and touch other people. And other people start becoming spiritually enlightened and spiritually hungry. One of the things that I pray for often here is I pray that God will send a God consciousness into our city, that people will become really hungry and stirred up about God. That's where it's got to start, folks. People got to get stirred up that there's a God and there's a relationship with God, and they need to have a relationship, and that we need to, you pray, God, just get people stirred up. Help them to have a consciousness of God. Help them to think about you. Be on their mind. Be on their heart. Get into their consciousness every day that they start really thinking about God. Amen. I pray for backsliders that's all they can think about is God. Hallelujah. Amen. I pray that they get surrounded about people that want to talk about God, and they can't help but think about Him. Because when backsliders start thinking about God, they get so miserable. They get so stirred up. Amen. Because all they're hearing about is God, God, God. They don't want to talk about God. They don't want to talk about anything else but God. Because they know where they're supposed to be. And it stirs them up. And thank God for the word of the Lord. And so Hilkiah found the word of the Lord in the house of the Lord. Amen. And then he gave it to the accountant, the king's scribe that was going to the king. And he said, take these books I found in the house of the Lord. And when they found those books, I can't help but think that they couldn't help but feel the potential if something happened. They knew what Josiah was doing. They could see the direction that he was heading. And like always, I'm sure there were people that were excited because, hey, we're getting ready for revival. Then there were people that were so mad. They said, I want to keep doing things the way we're doing them. I'm having fun. Amen. I'm enjoying this sin. I'm going to be like everybody else. I don't want anybody telling me what to do. I don't want anybody spoiling my party. Amen. Righteousness will spoil your party. And at least it'll clean it up. And it'll make it a whole different kind of party. But you'll wake up clear-headed. Amen. And clean and righteous and feeling good. You'll have peace and joy. And know that you're doing the right thing. Amen. And so the word of the Lord was discovered. They brought it to the king. Shaphan, the king's scribe, after he gave a report, he said, we found this book in the house of the Lord. And he said, read it. And he began to read it. Can you imagine? 57 years plus. By this time, surely more than 60 years, the word of the Lord had never been read in public. In Israel. I'm talking about in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem. And the word of the Lord had been hidden for more than six decades. And suddenly somebody opens it up and they begin to read. There's still power in the word of the Lord, isn't there? Amen. There's still power in the word of the Lord. So they open up that book and he starts reading it. And the king, his heart's affected. And he begins to respond to the word of God. He gets excited about the word of the Lord. He said, this is what I've been looking for. I've been looking for something that would light my way. I've been looking for a context to live my life in. And he found it in the Word of God. And then when they got to the parts of the judgments that would come on Jerusalem for forsaking the Lord, he became fearful. And they sought after the prophets and went down, and the prophetess prophesied and said, yes, these things are going to happen. Jerusalem's going to be destroyed. He said, but it's not going to happen in this king's lifetime because he loves the Lord. Amen. And so the Lord sent mercy on the house of Josiah because Josiah sought after the Lord. And God had mercy on him in a great and wondrous way. Amen. And so mercy came. He said, go inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that it is found. And for great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us because our fathers have not hearkened to the words of this book to do according unto all that which is written concerning us. There's something about a void that's created where there was once light and now becomes darkness. The Bible talks about that, does it not? It warns us of the peril of emptiness. It's Jesus taught a parable about a room that it was like a man that got his heart cleaned up, but he didn't get anything inside. He left it empty. And he said the spirit that went out went and got seven spirits more vile than itself. And they all came back into that man. And the end of his situation was worse than the first. How many times have we witnessed that, folks? People that come to the Lord and do good and live for God and then go back. Let me tell you, and that's one of the things the devil says. Just, you know, you don't have to go all the way back. Just go back a little bit. Well, you start, you're going further than you intend. Well, you know, just try it. Then you can always come back to God. You will, maybe. Maybe. But if you do, it'll probably be a lot longer than you thought it was going to be. And here's the travesty. The children that you raised while you were out there may never make it back here. You better understand that backsliding costs a lot more than just one person. It affects the lives of others. And so, when these kings went away from God, and Manasseh had such a godly father to follow his example. Hezekiah was one of the greatest kings of Jerusalem. And his son was one of the greatest apostates. And yet he came to his senses at the end after nearly 55 years of rebellion, but it was too late. The seed was planted. He couldn't turn it around. He didn't have enough time. And his son followed in his wicked ways until his grandson came and began to say, hey, this is not right. This is not good. This is not Israel. This is not Jerusalem. This is not the way we're supposed to be. He read the stories of the kings and realized this is not it, folks. We've got to get back to where we were. We've got to make some changes. And he began in everything that he could do to repent. Amen. The Bible said of David, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid to his fathers and saw corruption. The sad thing is that even Davids die. Solomon started out well, didn't he? And then he fell apart. Went the wrong way. I believe in Solomon's old age, he did repent. But again, he'd already sown some seed that he couldn't unseed. He'd already started Jerusalem and in Israel in a way that he couldn't get them back. And he had troubles. Amen. And that he did. But Josiah had blessings in his life as he began to seek the Lord with all that was in him. And I mean, he cleaned house. You talk about cleaning house. He cleaned house. He all the high places they built up to worship, he tore them down. You know, when you read about the kings of Israel, it'll say they did this, they did that, and that was right. They said, but they didn't tear down the high places. He tore down the high places. He went in to destroy all those groves where they worshiped the false gods. Amen. He killed, had the priest killed. Hello? I mean, he did. He destroyed everybody that if they didn't want to stand up for God, he just got rid of them. And he actually dug up bones and burned them. He got all the bones that were unrighteous. We talked about preaching bones. Apparently there were some bones that were preaching unrighteousness. He said, we're going to get rid of them too. So he dug up their bones and he burned them and ground them to powder. And he dug up the bones one. They said, oh, that's a prophet. He's one of them that talked about all that's going to come on Israel. He said, well, don't touch those bones. Let's let those bones rest. But I'm talking about a man cleaning house here. And it's sad what he had to do. He had to actually clean out the temple. It was full of junk. Altars to false gods and idols. And along the walls there were houses of prostitution. Can you believe that? Right by the house of God? Anybody that did want to go to the house of God, they had to go through all that garbage to get there. And he tore all that down and got rid of it. And then, can you imagine that it had been more than 60 years without a Passover? No sacrifice has been offered. No worship. I'm talking about Jerusalem, folks. But did you get that? We're talking about Jerusalem. The very place that the Lord said, I'll put my name here. And did. And God put up with that for 60 plus years. Can you imagine the joy in heaven when he saw somebody that said, I'm going to clean this place up. Amen. And he got some singers and they started learning those songs of Zion. They began to sing them. And he said, you know what? We're going to have a Passover. Here's a man that put his money where his mouth was. The Bible says that Josiah gave 30,000 from his own flocks. 30,000 sheep and goats. I mean, here's a guy that said that. This is just his part. This is just the king's, and this is what I want to do. 3,000 cows he gave to be sacrificed, bulls. He said, I'm telling you what. He said, I'm serious about this worship thing. Here's what I tell people that worship. Amen. If you want to lead worship, worship. Amen. Don't get up there and tell people how to worship. Just worship. Amen. It bugs me when somebody tells me how to worship all the time. Amen. I'm sorry. Now I'm getting off on my little pet peeve here. But some worship leaders are like calisthenics when I was in school. Amen. Everybody stand up. Everybody sit down. Everybody shake hands. Everybody raise your hands. Everybody say amen. Everybody say this, say that, do this, do that. Nah, nah, nah. And you're just trying to keep up with all that. You can't worship because your instruction is going to come about 20 seconds. You're going to change direction. I heard an evangelist say one time, he said, you know what? I don't know where he got this, probably because he's looking at his watch. He said, but I've noticed that when I say praise the Lord, you worship God about 20 seconds and then you stop. You know why? Because we're trained that way. That's why we do that. Because we've been trained to do that. About 20 seconds, we're listening for somebody to tell us something else to do. Okay, what are we going to do next? We're going to run, jump, stand, raise our hands, talk in tongues. What's next? Because we're trained that way. Whereas in other countries where I've been, you don't train people that way. When you go to Colombia and you say worship the Lord, you get ready for about 30 minutes for you not to say anything or do anything because they're not going to listen. You said worship the Lord and that's what they're going to do. You are shut out. Don't tell them to worship unless you mean it. Because they get geared up and they are ever more ready to worship God. Amen. And they're going to do that. They're going to shut their eyes. They're going to get lost in the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. That's a good thing, isn't it? Amen. And so worship is vital. It's important that we do that. And so Josiah said, you know what? We're going to have a Passover. And he said, I've got 30,000 sheep. I'm going to donate 3,000 cows and bulls. I'm going to donate those. Amen. And the Bible says it was the greatest Passover that had ever been held in Jerusalem. Ever. Even the days of David were not as great. Even the days of Solomon were not as great as the days of Josiah when he offered sacrifices to the Lord. The Bible said the priest offered sacrifices way into the night. Amen. They were worshiping God. And my, what a time that was. And so he became one of the greatest kings that Israel ever knew. And too bad he was at the very end of this. But at least they went out with a good king, or at least they had a good king before they went out. Amen. And I have no idea what that's doing there. I think it just snuck in there. All right. Two lessons from Josiah's life. We're only one generation away from extinction. That's true, isn't it? You remember, as great as Joseph was, it said, and there arose a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. One of the saddest commentaries in Scripture is when righteous people fail to reproduce righteous people. Samuel, one of the greatest men in the Bible, but his sons were not like Samuel. It's important that we reproduce in the next generation people like ourselves. If we want revival to continue, we have to raise our children right. Amen. You have to find out what righteousness is and maintain that. Amen. And so the generation, we're only one generation away from extinction. And that's what happened in Israel, because Hezekiah was a great king, but his son was an unrighteous king, and it took him 60 plus years to get back to righteousness again. When a person, a church, or a nation seeks God, studies His Word, obeys it, and teaches it, the light of revelation will dispel the darkness. So we know that if we seek righteousness and we do right, it will reflect in the nation that we're a part of. At least God will honor our word and honor what we do in trying to seek God and do the right thing. Amen. We're pursuing righteousness. And it's important that we do that. We're not saying that we have all the answers. Amen. But I do know this. I do know that just judging by life, that righteous life is more wholesome than unrighteous life. I noticed the attitude and the spirit of things. Godly people are not nearly as angry as ungodly people. Have you ever noticed that? Amen. I'll also say this, that truly godly people, now there are some people that are not truly godly, just claim to be, but truly godly people are more tolerant of others. You don't have to agree with me. You have the right to be wrong if you want to. Amen. Amen. But all of us today, you know, you can be tolerant of other people, and you must be. Everybody has to come to God in their own terms and when they get ready. You can't force anybody to do this. It was never intended to be that way. Yes, there were times in Christian history when the church tried to force people to serve God. And those were not good times. And that was not right. That was as wrong as it could be. Jesus Christ never forced anyone to follow Him. Ever. All He did was preach the Word and be righteous and let the light shine and do good to others. Amen. And you know what? People sought Him out. People came to Him. But He didn't force anybody. God doesn't want us to try to force anybody to do right. And it's wrong for us to try to do that. And so, now that doesn't mean that you don't maintain your convictions. You do. You keep doing what you know is right, even if everybody else is doing different. Amen. You don't have to bash them over the head with your testimony. All you got to do is just live it. Right? Shake your head like this right here. That's right, Brother Grissom. All you got to do is live it. And your living right will preach louder than your words. Your smile, your kind spirit, your generosity, your godliness, it'll speak volumes to people. Your genuineness. Amen. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Don't you like to just see real people? Real Christians. I'm talking about people. There are no fake, no saccharine, no put on. They're just genuine. It's just life. Amen. It's not something we do on Sundays. Not something we do on Wednesday because Wednesday night's coming. It's just something we do every day because it's the right thing to do. Just serving God because it's right. Amen. Let's stand together, shall we? Thank you. I want to be like Josiah. I want to have a heart after God. Amen. A young man that wrought a revival in the last dawning days of Israel. Here's a travesty. is that, you know, his son didn't follow in his footsteps. Jehoiakim became king. He didn't follow his dad's footsteps. And the enemy came in and overthrew him and put another king on the throne. And he didn't follow God. And they took him into captivity and put another one on the throne. And then everybody went into captivity. So, but right at the end of Israel's history, there was at least a few moments of great revival, led by a man by the name of Josiah. Started when he was 8 years of age on the throne of Israel, and reigned righteously for 31 years. Praise God. The Lord bless you. We're getting ready to worship here, and getting ready to have Sunday morning worship. So let's everybody enjoy the presence of the Lord. Shake, turn around, shake some hands.